the Book of Judges. It's a tale of chaos unleashed, of violence unchained, and of a moral compass spinning wildly out of control. Ancient Israel's story? Perhaps. But as we peel back the pages, we'll find a mirror reflecting our own tumultuous times. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Sound familiar? Well, join us over the next few weeks as we study the Book of Judges, ancient wisdom for modern chaos. Our story begins now. So Judges chapter 3, starting at verse 7, going down to verse 11. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years, until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. I wonder if you were to answer this question, what you'd say. What is the biggest issue facing the church today? What is the biggest issue facing the church today? And we might be told it's the leadership. And we might be told it's social action. We need to deal with this issue here. We might be told it's denominational decline, as in the big church groups falling. Let's broaden that question out, shall we? What is the biggest issue facing the world today? Well, it might be prime ministers receiving gifts. It might be politics. It might be violence. It might be social unrest. All sorts of things. And we might be tempted to agree. If only this situation was fixed, then this country would be in a better place. If only this situation was fixed, then the church would be a great place to be and people would come through the doors. Here's the question, though. Are those things the real issue, or are they just symptoms of something far deeper? See, that question isn't just for our heads. It affects our actions, doesn't it? If we aim our sights at the wrong target, we risk two dangerous outcomes. We could doubt God's power. We could think God's not big enough to deal with that issue. And as a church, we could lose sight of our true mission. We could be distracted by this thing over there. But even worse than that, we could leave the real issue unchecked. See, Judges chapter 3, verses 7 to 11 is addressing that problem. And as we look at this passage this evening, we're going to see a truth that is both liberating and challenging. We're going to see that God can easily handle our external problems, but there is a much deeper issue at stake, one that requires his saving power all the more. And we need to hear this because, like Israel in this passage, we can get caught up in the external trouble and cry out for relief from it, but miss the bigger danger. The bigger danger of forgetting God. See, Othniel's story here is simple and basic. It strips away complexity to show us right from the start what is truly essential. And that is God himself. This story here is the clearest one in Judges of God's direct involvement. And it sets the pattern for the whole central section of this book. So let's explore, shall we? Is there any problem beyond God's power? And I guess more importantly, are we asking the right question? Now, our instinct might be to quickly answer, no, nothing is beyond God's power. But Judges chapter 3 is going to reveal something more profound than that. And as I said, we need to hear this because external issues are loud and distracting. We need to be reminded of this again and again. We need to hear the point of this passage this evening as we carry on through Judges and through all of our lives. So we're going to see three things this evening. The first thing, God is in charge. The second thing, God can raise up a deliverer. And the third thing, God can defeat the biggest of enemies. So let's look at the first, shall we? God is in charge. Have a look down at verse 7. Let's start at the beginning. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Now, forgetting God isn't like forgetting a phone number. It's more like cheating in a marriage. This is not carelessness. This is rebellion. Israel knew their covenant and they deliberately turned their backs. That's where the danger really begins. Remember the ABCs of Judges? We saw them last week. Each story in Judges starts with the people going away from God or abandoning God. They do the evil. That is, they turn their back on God. They forget God. And that isn't a momentary slip up. That is a deliberate rejection of God's covenant. You see there, they stop serving God as they were rescued to do. And instead, you see it there, who are they serving? They're serving the Baals and the Asherahs. Those are the so-called gods of the nations around them. So they turn away from God. What happens next? Well, it leads to bad times. Verse 8, and this is striking. Verse 8, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. Just notice that verse. That's our point, isn't it? But not in the way we expect. We're saying God's in charge. How does he show he's being in charge here? Well, the Lord sold them in his anger, didn't he? In his anger, the Lord sold his people. You see there, this isn't God losing control. This is God deliberately acting. And who does he sell them to? Well, he sells them to the biggest, baddest villain around. Cushan-Rishathaim. That name doesn't mean very much to us, does it? But it translates to Cushan of double wickedness. You see, he's not just wicked, he is doubly wicked. I mean, could you ask for a better pantomime villain name? He is Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Aram-Naharaim. That is Aram of the two rivers. In the Bible, two rivers points us to a dark place. It points us to Babylon. So what do we have? Well, we have a doubly wicked king from a far-off land. He is a world-class emperor whose tentacles are reaching down into Israel. It's a distant enemy. It's a difficult enemy. Not just wicked, but doubly wicked. Is there any problem beyond God's power? I mean, this is a good test of it, isn't it? And notice there, Israel are in that situation, subject to this baddie for how long? 8 years. For 8 long years, Israel is subject to this tyrant. They serve the Baals and the Asherahs. So God sold them to serve the king of Aram-Naharaim. You see, this situation is being set up to show us the answer to our question. Is there any problem beyond God's power? But even before we get there, we have to see that God is in charge. God is the one who has done this in the first place. And God had told them he would do it. You see, if they turn back, God will take them back beyond the Nile. He's going to revert them back to the situation they were in before when they were in Egypt. God has promised that. This is God showing he's in charge by doing what he said he'd do. Can you see here? The external issue is loud. But the quiet forgetting God is far more deadly. Is there any problem beyond God's power? Well, no, because God's in charge. God can solve any issue. And the great news here is that when God's people forget him, he doesn't forget God's people. And that brings us to our second point this evening. God can raise up a deliverer. I'll look down at verse 9. See, in verse 9, we meet Othniel. And Othniel is the model judge. God raises him up as the perfect example of how his deliverance works. Othniel shows us the pattern. God raises, God empowers, and God saves. Verse 9. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. So what happens? Away from God leads to bad times, so they cry out. The Israelites cry out to God. Do you see that? But what are they actually doing there? You see, when we hear Israel cried out to the Lord, we might be thinking they're calling out for forgiveness. That is not what is happening here. See, that word for cry there is more a gasp under oppression. It's a complaint under the circumstances. It is the same word used in Exodus as the Israelites cry out in their suffering under the oppression of Pharaoh. That crying is a cry of distress. So we were told that last week in Judges 2:18, which is on the previous page. We're told this: whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For, here's the explanation, the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed them and afflicted them. The Israelites here are groaning. They are crying out. They're not crying out for forgiveness. They're crying out in distress. They're not saying, God, forgive us. They're simply groaning under the weight of discomfort. I mean, we can do the same, can't we? When the troubles of life come about, when things make us feel uncomfortable, we know what that's like. We often focus, don't we, on the external trouble whilst ignoring the true enemy of our sinful hearts. You see here, Israel felt the discomfort, but they missed their own rebellion. And we can do the same today. God can fix our circumstances, sure, but he is more concerned about what's at our core. That is our relationship with him. So Israel cry out in discomfort. And here's the remarkable part. Well, God responds in grace anyway. This story is meant to echo in our minds the story of Exodus. We're going to see that as we carry on through future weeks. But just remember the Exodus, where God delivered his people from Pharaoh. The people, they groaned under Pharaoh's oppression. So what did God do? Well, God raised up Moses. And here he raises up Othniel, son of Kenaz. God in his grace chooses to raise up a deliverer, not out of necessity, but out of love. Once more, notice how long it takes Israel to cry out to the Lord. 8 years. But in his grace, God shows that he can raise up a deliverer. And you see, then the people are saved. It's beautifully ambiguous, actually, in the original Hebrew, who actually does the saving here. That's part of the point. Is it Othniel or is it God? The answer, yes. You see, the two are tightly intertwined. Othniel's name, in fact, points to that unity. Othniel's name literally means God is my strength. It is God at work through Othniel to rescue his people. But there's one more aspect of Othniel we shouldn't overlook. You see, we met this guy, if you want to read more about him, back in Judges 1. And he seemed quite a decent guy there. But there is an emphasis here in this passage on Othniel's descent. Do you see it? Othniel is the son of Kenaz. And that means he is a foreigner inside of Israel. The Kenazites, they come from the line of Esau. They are not native Israelites. This is someone who has come in, bound himself to the promises of the God of Israel, and done what God wants. He is a powerful example to the people around, sure, but he's also an indictment to the native Israelites. Who is it who's rescuing you? Well, it's that guy. So is there any problem beyond God's power? Well, of course not. Was Egypt too big for God? Is God's people under oppression too big for God? No. Of course not, because God can raise up a deliverer. So how is Othniel going to do against this big, bad, doubly wicked king? How is God's strength going to fare against this tyrant who's stretching his tentacles down into Israel? Well, it's over quickly, isn't it? We see in our short, quick report here, the final point this evening, God can defeat the biggest of enemies. This king of Aram, notice how the author reminds us of his name again. Just remember, he is the biggest, baddest enemy. Actually, he's the biggest, baddest enemy that Israel faced in the whole of this book of Judges. But just notice how quickly it's over. Verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, that's Othniel, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. The Spirit of the Lord came on Othniel, notice that. That marks him out as the leader of God's people here. In fact, as you go through Judges, the Spirit marks out God's choice. Because the people God chooses all the way through Judges, not just here, are people you would not expect. Just remember Othniel. God's chosen someone like Othniel, a foreigner, remember? He's not who Israel would expect to rescue them. They wouldn't expect Othniel to be the one that God uses. The Spirit comes on Othniel so that he becomes Israel's judge. You see that in the text? And so Othniel goes to war against the doubly wicked king. In fact, the last time we saw Othniel, he was down south in Judges chapter 1. But now to fight this king, he travels all the distance, all the way through Israel, all the way up north to take on the mega king. And bish, bash, bosh, the Lord gives Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel. And Othniel overpowers him. You see there, we see a man, Othniel, chosen by God, empowered by the Spirit, victorious in battle. That's the kind of story we love, isn't it? The single, unexpected hero staring down the superpower. The Luke Skywalker taking on the Empire. The Harry Potter taking down Voldemort. Well, Othniel beats him there, doesn't he? Othniel is the perfect judge account. He is exactly the way a judge should be. God uses him, he does as God wants, and God keeps his promise. Just notice there, that is exactly what God promised back in Deuteronomy. He said to Israel, he will give their kings into your hand and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. That promise God made to Israel is taken and owned by Othniel right here. Foreign oppressors are no trouble for God. God has said that would be the case. God has shown that is the case. And so verse 11, the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. That is, for a whole generation there was peace. And it sounds like a happily ever after, doesn't it? Well, unfortunately not. Judges last week told us that's the case. We're going to see that's the case for weeks to come. But for now, our question, is there any problem beyond God's power? Well, the answer here is a resounding no, isn't it? God can defeat the biggest of enemies. So why is Othniel's story here? So bare bones, so simple. You could just miss it if you accidentally look too far in your Bible. See, this first account of Judges, it sets the stage for the entire book. Othniel is the ideal. He is the foil against which all the other judges can be measured. He shows us that God can deliver his people. He shows us that God can raise up a deliverer. There is no issue there. But the question is external deliverance the biggest issue God's people face? You see, we began, didn't we, by asking, is there any problem beyond God's power? There's all sorts of things that this world tells us are problems. And sure, they are problems. Is there any problem beyond God's power? Well, Judges 3 thunders a resounding no. God can topple a tyrant with ease. The mightiest king in this entire book, how many verses does it take to knock him down? One. Any oppression, Pharaoh of Exodus, Babylon of the exile, any oppressor, well, God can handle them all, can't he? But Judges isn't primarily about defeating foreign oppressors. It is about something far more insidious. Remember the spiral or the slinky of sin. Look back to verse 7, where we started this story. What is the issue that started this whole thing off? The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and the Asherahs. So this passage here is teaching us the issue isn't with God's power. The issue is with his people's hearts. Our greatest oppressor isn't a foreign king. It isn't any of those issues in the world around us. It's not politics. It's not social action. It's none of that stuff. It's our true. It's our sinful nature. Forgetting God, doing the evil. That is the true enemy that we are facing today. So we often fixate, don't we, on those external challenges, politics, social issues, cultural shifts. But we miss the main issue. The big core problem is sin. The forgetting of God by his people, and then in turn, the world's ignorance of him. See, like Israel, we could obsess over the discomfort of life and miss that real issue. God wants to fix more than our circumstances. He wants us to remember him and to turn to him. Because those external issues, they are small fry for God. He can handle them in a single verse. But sin, well, that's what really needs dealing with, isn't it? The world's problems are many, but the core issue is singular. Forgetting God. See, from Eden to the judges to Hemel Hempstead today, there's a persistent struggle, isn't there? The church's primary job isn't social reform. It isn't political change. It's to point people to the one true God. And for that mission to succeed, we have to be pointed there first. See, Othniel reminds us that strength is found in God, but we need more than an Othniel. We need one who can deal with our biggest issue, the issue of sin. God is strong enough to save Israel from a double wicked king, but he's even stronger than that. We need to be saved from our sin, our rejection of God in the first place, and praise the Lord, he has done that through the Lord Jesus. But here's the thing. We need to know that that is the biggest issue. We need to know that that is the issue that the world faces. We need to not just cry out in discomfort, but turn to the one who can truly deliver. The one who can deliver from every external threat and from our own internal rebellion as well. And once we're there, we can point people to him as well. We need to not forget our God because, praise God, he never forgets us. Our God is strong enough to save. Amen. Let's turn and pray, shall we? Thank you for listening to the podcast. Any questions can be sent to podcast@david-couch.com. I'll see you again next time.